Hey everybody, welcome. I think this is Turlo from Turlo3.com and having some technical difficulties at the moment. Don't even know if I'm online and cannot get into the chat room. Nobody can tell me that I'm online or not. So I see the internet's going. Skype came back on. I'm going to assume that everything is happening. I'm going to try to get back into the chat room while I'm giving you this Black Star update report. This is volume 20 of Terrell's 2016 newsletter. And before I go any further, Revolution Radio is listener supported. I recommend the seed pack. Get information at freedomslips.com. When I was in the chat room, I saw they were about halfway to reaching their goal, and we're a little over halfway through the month. If you have the resources, then Revolution Radio can really use your support. And for week 20, then there are no new newsletter subscribers for the first time this year. It took 20 weeks where we had a zero. Marilyn renewed her subscription, and Marilyn is the only subscriber for the past 5 years for week 20, sitting all by herself. Randy and Mike made another nice donation to the research. Appreciate that very much, guys. And Mike appreciates, pardon me, I'm telling you I'm having difficulties today. Mike appreciates your prayers. He's a avid supporter of the research, and he and Randy, and he's been in the hospital. He just had an infection in his mouth or something, and his face started turning blue, got very serious, and now he is recovering. Hopefully he's going to be normal real soon. I'm going to try again to bear with me for a second. It's my internet. I'm wondering if somebody's bombing my IP address. See if I can get into the chat room. Verify that somebody in the chat room will tell me yes or no, whether I'm online or if you can hear me. If you can't, then I sure would appreciate it. Then the Black Star update report for this week is a little bit complicated. If you get a link to the newsletter, then I strongly encourage you to read it. You might have to read it two times. It's a little bit complicated to explain how an object coming near the sun is actually slowing down. Magnetic repulsion. I had no idea that any such thing existed. One, okay. Thank you, Bear and Pat. Just as I was getting ready to go online, I was just getting ready to start the show, turn off the mute button, and the bells started going off, saying that I was offline. Looked over at my modem, the lights were off. I was wondering if somebody was bombing my IP address, not sure. That used to happen in the old days quite frequently, but since now I've got a skeleton crew for a research group rather than 350 people all working together, and making less of a splash, so it's been a little bit easier here lately. Apologize, I'm a little bit under the weather today. My girlfriend's on vacation, and you know what that means? It means I need a vacation myself. Yesterday we were in Miami. If you ever drive through Miami during rush hour in the rain, it reminds me a lot of Atlanta. Always had problems getting to Atlanta, no matter when I was going through that town. I had a lot of flashbacks. Yesterday, got in very, very late, been working hard on the newsletter, and just about whooped. And it's not surprising to me that things are trying to go haywire here. So I'm gonna make it through. One is good. Yeah, one is good, Bear, and two is can't hear a darn thing. So what I want to do, this is probably the longest report. I know I keep saying that. A lot of explaining to do here lately. Wrap my head around part of what's going on with the Project Black Star research. There's some of the stuff that's still I'm trying to work on to try to explain. We have the evidence, not sure what it means in some areas. So I'm just going to just start reading right here at the top of the report, and then break off whenever This is how it begins. Seismic and volcanic indicators say that Earth is moving through the first of two well-defined Earth change low periods for the 2016 Earth orbit cycle relative to the Black Star, moving left in the orbit diagram between the Sun and the feet of the Virgo constellation, just below the ecliptic plane. I've been saying that's in Libra. I thought it was in Libra. It should be in Libra. If the 188-day cycle stays intact, that's where it was be, but it appears that the 188-day cycle is over and that the Black Star is interacting with the Sun. I explain it in this this report. Pardon me again. Weeks 13 through 15 relative to the inbound Black Star for the last few years have been among the most active for the entire year. If you guys think back to April, what we just went through, it's been like that every year, but I've been able to pretty much identify when the near side alignment event's going to come. It's usually in week 14, and or it backs up into week 13. This year, backed up into week 12. Week 12 was, for the last few years, have been a lull just before the storm. It's been a little quiet before the storm. This year, I'm expecting a quiet bam. We get our big seven on April the 28th. And that's only 3 days later from what happened last year on April the 25th with the 7.8 Nepal quake. So, on the surface, it appears like there's something that's way, way off. And more and more red letters. We have a red letter in the 6 magnitude earthquakes. We had no 8s, no 7s, no 6s, again, for this week. And 21 5 magnitude earthquakes and 242 of the 2.5. And as I explained, that value was a red letter last week down to just 217. That's only a few above the average, yearly average. And for week 13, that is extremely low. So that got a red letter. Well, we got red letters all the way across the board. And the 6 magnitude earthquakes, we went 2 weeks without having a 6 magnitude earthquake. The last time that happened was in week 3 and week 4. Of the cycle, but when you go back and look over the years, it's kind of rare to go 2 weeks. It's really rare. And this pattern of no activity began, I'm talking about weeks and weeks and weeks. If you go back to last year, weeks 36 through 40, that's 5 weeks, 0 6 magnitude earthquakes for that entire period. And shortly after that, when we get to our backside alignment, right around that, when the Black Star passed behind the Sun relative to the Black Star. When the Earth passed behind the Sun relative to the Black Star, then we had 5 7 magnitude earthquakes in just a 4 week period. So question might be, is that, are we expecting the same thing now that we're seeing a lull when it's supposed to be a high? And I'm not thinking in that direction at all. The lull that we're in, I mean, we're in a lull right now when we should be at the peak of activity. The reason is because we've already gone through the peak. We went through earlier than expected. Since the Black Star moved only 3 degrees left in the orbit diagram for the entire year, that sounds impossible, doesn't it? Even for somebody that's been following the research every week for the last 5 years. But as explained last week, you have to go back to volume 19, it appears the Black Star and the Sun are interacting in such a way as the Black Star gets closer, then the repulsion power, the Black Star magnetic potential is growing. Its magnetic polarity strength. It sounds like I'm about to lose my connection here. I'm starting to get feedback. It's getting more powerful so that, see, the Sun doesn't have its own magnetism. It siphons that from the Sun. So if you study a little bit about magnets, magnetic fields, then as these two magnets get closer together, the force increases by a cube of the closing distance. Gravity doesn't work that way. Gravity, as two objects get closer, the force, the gravitational pull between them, increases by the square of the closing distance. So just knowing those two facts, when you understand that these two stars are, they have a repulsion, like putting two magnets together the wrong way, they want to repel one another, then you have to realize, you can then begin to realize that the Black Star must slow down. It's a braking mechanism. And I didn't know that stars could do that, binary stars, until I read that the science paper from the Canadian student that discovered it by observation, by watching binary stars through his telescope, that the smaller one would want to slow down as it was coming in to reach perihelion when every other object in the solar system, in the universe, for that matter, obeys the laws of gravity. And where there's no magnetic repulsion involved, like with a comet or an asteroid or a planet, they increase velocity reaching perihelion. As soon as they get to that nearest point, then they begin slowing down until they reach the slingshot around the sun and reach the far end of their orbit at aphelion position. And they're moving at minimum velocity. This black star, very, very different. As it's coming, it's at some distance away coming in, the gravitational effect is increasing, and it's coming on in, coming on in. But when this thing gets close to the sun, that repulsion power, very powerful. And what I believe is going on is that this thing has gotten close enough now that it falls down into the bottom of the well. It's falling that way, but then the repulsion is pushing it back. And as it's coming around the sun, it's doing so in a very odd fashion. Something that I'm having difficulty even imagine how it works. All I can do is look at the data and try to explain it. But since you see all these red values showing up on my seismic chart, what that means is I'm losing my ability to use historical information, the data we have from previous orbit cycles, is becoming more and more useless to me. Something has changed with the black star. So it's coming in relatively on an elliptical curve, on an elliptical orbit path, and it's going to transition into something that's more like a circular orbit path whenever this magnetic repulsion force and the gravitational force find a happy place, whenever it finds equilibrium. The black star is moving slower and slower and slower, and that is going to explain these red values. Since the black star moved only 3 degrees left in the orbit diagram, the Earth caught up with it in natural orbit around the sun, moving 66,000 miles per hour. It caught up with it in week 12, which hasn't happened yet. This is the first time that it's happened. And then once we passed by, then we start seeing, and to the credit of this investigation, we did predict the Martian dust storm. We predicted Mars was going to blow up. That's the way one guy described it. It's much easier to see now because of the dust storms. The dust storms were predicted months in advance. So yes, that did happen, but those that have been paying attention, then you realize that whenever they started, I said right then, this is happening too early. And then the magnetopause reversal, the reason that I could predict those things is because Mars and the Earth and the Sun and the black star were in a similar position in 2012. March 12, 2012, magnetopause reversal and the mystery Martian dust storm. They happened simultaneously on March the 12th. And I can understand how this is happening. Magnetic portal connection convergence. These magnetic portal connections get closer together whenever we're passing between the two stars. Three portal connections are getting close together. And then you get the portal-to-portal cross-firing, and you get the ionic clouds that form and are compressed between the magnetic portal connections. And that gives the cloud directionality. The sun interprets that to give us the solar flares. Remember the rash of M-class flares that we had through April? I was ignoring them. People were sending me information on the M-class flares, and I'm expecting them to, I'm going, they're babies. I'm looking for the X-class flares, knowing that they were coming later with our alignment. Come to find out, though, that flare activity was my flare activity, not as large as on previous cycles. The magnitudes of the near-side alignment quakes, not nearly as large as they were 2010, 2011. They're getting smaller. Looking at Earthquake 3D, I'm not seeing anything over a 6-magnitude earthquake for 2 weeks. We're supposed to be at the high, we're supposed to be looking at big numbers. Earth is changing. Now it's becoming, it's expanded and contracted and expanded here recently to the point that pressure is unable to build up between the plates to give us that giant event. The Earth is growing from the extra heat from that's being redirected from the sun through the black star to the Earth through the black star-Earth magnetic portal connection. Now, what this means is the black star is moving more slowly now than when I started talking, left in the orbit diagram. Earth is moving at 66,000 miles per hour towards reaching the aphelion position in its movement around the sun. So the Earth is slowing down just a little bit as it's moving towards its aphelion position on July the 4th. But we're still moving at 66,000 miles per hour. This lull period that we're seeing is happening because we've already passed by the black star. We're moving towards outside orbit position now, and the Earth is moving at the same speed it was last cycle, but the black star is moving more slowly. The black star is moving more slowly. We're moving away from it more rapidly. Magnetic portal connection between the black star and the Earth is getting longer more rapidly. As the magnetic portal connections get longer, then these active conduits that are on the inside at each reconnection, a percentage of them are switching over to passive state, providing more insulation property to the magnetic portal connection itself. So the Earth is receiving less electromagnetism from the black star as we're moving away from it just by moving naturally around the sun. So this Earth change lull period that we're going through now, I'm expecting to run all the way to the middle part and into the third week of August 2016. Doesn't mean there aren't going to be hiccups and events along the way, but it means that the trend is going to go downward. So right now, I mean, the peak that we reached, let me just look up the chart here, 2.5 to 4 magnitude earthquakes, that's my indicator quakes. As we're moving towards the black star, they go up. The area around these bulging calderas, magma chambers, everything wants to rise. It's kind of like Jiffy Pop popcorn, and when it's in the microwave or it's on the stove, the earth core is wanting to grow, and this area around the calderas creates a lot of these smaller magnitude earthquakes. So they're going up and down, and I'm watching them going up and down and predicting as they're going to go up and down, knowing when the magnetic portal connection is getting shorter and getting longer when we're moving towards the black star and we're moving away from the black star. So as long as that part of the modeling holds up, it means that it is at the feet of the Virgo constellation. Pretty confident about that. But I can tell you that there's some things that are changing with the Earth. I'm seeing if you go down lower in the what I'm looking at right now is we had only two new volcanic eruptions this week, and they're over towards New Zealand and Indonesia. That's where the pressure begins that starts each Earth change uptick period. You have them over there first, then it spreads around to the north through Japan, Kamchatka, Aleutians, Alaska, coming down towards Canada. That's where the blockage is at Cascadia subduction zone. Pressure has not been able to push through south of that position yet, to my knowledge. Then we have another wave pushing across South America from Australia, New Zealand, across the the South Pacific to to South America. That's what was going on last year whenever we had the 8.3 Chile quake, and then we had the pair of Peruvian quakes. That was at our backside alignment. We were having all those big sevens when we passed behind the sun relative to the black star. Those quakes were more than 600 kilometers deep. That did not happen on this uptick period that we just went through. I kept anticipating we got the deep quakes over towards New Zealand. I'm expecting them to jump over. We had our intermediate quakes in between that position in the southern Pacific. And then we saw a slight uptick over there in South America, but they never reached the depth that I expected they were going to, down in the transition zone of Earth mantle. That's what creates the magma plumes that rise and create the new volcanism that's going on. Going through the month of April, then we had 9 and 8 and 9 and 7 new volcanic eruptions those weeks. Last week we had only 4. This week we have only 2. With the diminishing earthquake values, the evidence is telling me we're moving away from the black star. We've already crossed it, and that April the 28th was our near side alignment event. Now, there's room in the data for other explanations, but we need more data. We need more information moving forward to know which way that's going to go. Because it seems to me, according to the historical precedents with the Sumerians, with in what's in Scripture, that the black star does indeed cross Earth orbit path. That's what makes Earth vulnerable to a geological pole shift. If you go to poleshift.com, you'll see that there's plenty of evidence that this has happened before. That's the kind of thing that could not happen if, for example, our sun and its binary twin, that's what we're tracking, the binary twin, if they were orbiting a third point in space and this other object, this invisible collapsed black star, never crossed Earth orbit path, we would not have the opportunity magnetically to create an environment conducive to making the Earth stagger like a drunkard from Isaiah. So the magnetics that's required to cause a geological pole shift comes from another star. That star would be the twin to our sun, but we can't see it. And then that fulfills the part of the prophecy for us that says that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night, and that sudden destruction is upon them. At the same time, they're saying peace and safety. So I can understand a little more why people are saying peace and safety, because many are going to be lulled to sleep by the way Earth has this ability to maintain the appearance of equilibrium. It expands and contracts, it expands and contracts. Now, our seismic numbers, even during the uptick, although we just went through a big, gigantic month of April, this low period you're going to see is going to drag on. It's going to seem like forever. It's going to drag on through the rest of the spring, into the summer, and almost to the end of summer. And I expect interest in Project Black Star and preparedness and everything is going to diminish. It has through the low periods on every cycle. But this one particularly, it looks like it's going to be extremely long. And many people, even newsletter subscribers, people who have been with me for 5 years, 4 or 5 years, are deciding that they want to support some other kind of research, because there's something that's just not happening that's making sense according to the old modeling that they've been following. But this is what the science is saying, and I'm the first one to admit that the numbers that I'm looking at, that's why there's red values in here in my chart, things are not, they have not been going the way I expected. Now I'm able to use some hindsight. Time is passing by, looking back, and things are making more sense. This would be very difficult, and I would agree with the skeptics, if we did not have the dust storms on Mars, because Mars is in near proximity to the black star. So those dust storms, my predictions about them, that's evidence that Project Black Star investigation is doing something right. And then what goes along with that, the magnetopause collapse happened too early. I expected it to be about a week before the alignment event. It happened earlier than May the 7th, way earlier. And so those indicators right there should have told me that my quake event was going to come early. And it wasn't until after we had May 7th had to pass by. And we even had a second theory submitted by Frank Hoggerbees, the European fellow. And so it was possible that we were still looking at a near-side alignment event. But and I said when I submitted it that it didn't look like that part was going to be true, because we are already seeing all these red letters, and because they're so low. I'll wrap up the Black Star Update Report as soon as we return. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Terrell from Terrell3.com. And remember, Revolution Radio is listener-supported. You can use your support very, very much. You can get more information on Project Black Star. Subscribe to my newsletter and help the research. Lots of free stuff over at Terrell03.com. That's Terrell03.com. You don't need the www. Appreciate your support very, very much. And Marilyn renewed her subscription, and Randy and Mike made a donation. No new subscribers for week 20 of this cycle. And I was trying to explain what's going on in the Project Black Star research. And it's a little bit complicated to explain how an object, a celestial object, is moving in space. It should be increasing velocity, reaching perihelion. That's what all comets, all asteroids, all planets, that's what they all do. That's traditional type inside the box thinking. But apparently the black star has its magnetic relationship with the sun. It's siphoning electromagnetism from the sun. Lots of links are provided in this update report to support my statements that the sun is supposed to be near solar maximum, and you can right now 10 times faster than the scientists originally thought. The reason is because Earth is connected to the sun through that magnetic portal connection. And so as the output of the sun diminishes because of black star influence, Earth is also, because it's connected to the sun. It's also connected to the black star, and we're receiving the extra electromagnetism in that through that magnetic portal connection, but it is varying depending on whether we're moving towards the black star or away from the black star, and whether the black star is moving closer to Mars or away from Mars, because the black star is connected to all the planets like our sun is through a series. It's a secondary network of magnetic portal connections. So the binary twin to our sun that we can't see, we can detect using the Earth changes, then it's having a great impact, causing global warming not just on our planet, but all the planets in the solar system. And it's created the ocean conveyor disruption because Earth metals, magnetite particularly, concentrated in the northern hemisphere, the Earth metals and salts translate this electromagnetism into heat energy through induction. So with this extra heat, 2016 will be the hottest year in recorded history, following 2015 that took the place of 2014. Earth, no matter, these people are saying that there's going to be a mini ice age and stuff like that, and I'm just laughing. Every year is going to get hotter. Earth core is getting hotter. The water temperature around Earth equator is getting hotter and hotter because the ocean conveyor is broken. There's insufficient polar drip. That's the engine for the ocean conveyor. There's insufficient drip. The ocean conveyor slows down. The warmer water cannot get from the equator back north of the jet stream. So the Earth in 2012 began this polar vortex phenomenon where these low pressure, the oscillation of the jet stream pushes way, 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 way down. These low pressure areas are breaking off. And that's the reason that a lot of people there in the northern part of the United States think that there is a mini ice age coming. It's because of Earth and its ability to change the game to maintain equilibrium. It's moving this cold air rather than through the ocean conveyor is moving it using air masses. So temporarily in the spring, it looks like things are going the temperatures are going to be more moderate or even cooler than normal, but globally, guaranteed, stories are coming out. 2016, hottest year in recorded history. And that is from black star influence. They're discovering more water in our solar system because of black star influence. Jupiter's core is liquefying because it's connected to the black star too. So the thanes, ethane, methane in the core are being, because of the heat, extra heat, they're being changed directly into gas, changing Jupiter's complexion. And it's the reason when you use your telescope, you try to find the red spot. The storm, try to find it. It's still there, but it's becoming more and more opaque. You cannot see it. We're not just talking about Earth changes here. Changes in our solar system. The heliosphere, the magnetic bubble that protects our solar system from the interstellar wind, shrunk 25%. That's the latest that I looked at, 25% in just the last 10 years. Scientists don't know why. We're supposed to be near solar maximum, but the sun looks like it's at solar minimum. So they're speculating that we're entering a maunder minimum, like in the 1800s. That's not what's happening. Our solar system is under the influence of the invisible binary twin that we can't even see, and it is growing in its electromagnetic potential. As it gets closer to the sun, that's where it siphons its energy from the sun. So the sun appears to be going to sleep. Black star is getting more powerful magnetically. But I've been tracking the movement of the migrating magnetic North Pole. And for the last couple of years, I've been able to tell you pretty much where that pole was going to be 6 months ahead of time. Lost that ability here in December 2015, I was right on the mark. Now, the migrating magnetic North Pole is moving a month ahead of where I thought it should be. Lost my ability to be able to do that too. So it's a sign that magnetically things are changing. The slowing black star is another sign to me that the repulsion power between the black star and the sun more powerful, slowing the black star down even more. Eventually it finds that equilibrium between the magnetic polarity, that is that repulsion, and the gravity, so that this thing swings around the sun in a relatively circular orbit to be repelled magnetically by the sun back to its aphelion position. So the magnetic force, as it's being repelled after this thing comes around the Earth, works with the gravity to slingshot it around, and then the magnetism expels it. So my view is that the aphelion position of this black star is not nearly as far away as you might imagine. Like when compared to an object that falls out of the Oort cloud, it's going to fall, and it's going to pass Jupiter going, well, if it's anything, like the typical, Lovejoy, 2012 is very similar to ISON as it came in, because they came from about 160 astronomical units away. So when they pass Jupiter, they're going about 40 to 50,000 miles per hour. Whenever they pass Earth orbit path, they're going a little over 90,000 miles per hour. Going around the sun, they'll be going a million miles an hour. That's the way these objects are supposed to work. Then it slingshots around and it's propelled back. Well, depending on, comets are different than asteroids because they change mass. So their orbit period will change, where asteroids or rocks, their mass doesn't change very much, if any. And so they have very predictable orbit period and path. Comets, not the same way at all. But this, you can tell where this guy came from by its inbound velocity when you're looking at a comet. You can tell by the velocity. Because the further away it came from, the faster it's coming in. Something that comes that falls from the Kuiper belt, for example, much closer. So as it's coming in, it has a slower velocity. You can tell. The black star, you cannot use any of these other objects to say how far it's going to be repelled to its aphelion position. My view that, I mean, it's beyond the Oort cloud, but it's not that far. It's really not that far away. It's the because of the magnetism that repels it, and then the gravity that wants to bring it back in. So this thing is an anomalous object. It behaves differently than anything cataloged by NASA supercomputers. And that fact alone makes this investigation difficult. Though the Earth changes do have something to do, we can track it through the Earth changes, but the patterns that we experienced, why it was on its way in a relative, on a relative orbit path, elliptical orbit path, was much easier than what's going on right now. It's in a transition towards that circular orbit, is the way that it appears to me. And so it's like turning the corner as it's coming in towards the sun and then repelled. I explained it in volume 19 with a diagram. That's the only explanation that I have for today that explains the strange movement of the black star and the strange pattern that's showing up in the seismic chart. So I went over the magnetic poles. I'm still using this old chart. I cannot get an updated chart from this link, but there is a below that. I've started using this. What is that? WizArad.com axis drift deal. It's shows you a picture of the last 4 years of where the magnetic North Pole is done. A little bit of commentary in here about that. Things for you to look. So I try to tie everything together and explain the anomalies in the charts in this Black Star Update report. That is, this thing is, it's like 7 pages long. So with the time remaining, then some interesting stuff in here, because even though we're looking at the lull period, you'd think that the news would be corresponding to that, but remember the news of what just happened when we came through April. A lot of scientists are waking up, and they're seeing all these Earth changes. They're connecting some of the dots. So I'm looking at a story here. Bonnie sent in some links, and the top one is Red Alert: Lava Dome Under Gulf of Mexico is Rising as Waters Heat Up. See, it's going to talk about the heating up of the ocean. the Gulf of Mexico, how hot it is. And I can testify to that outside, because I'm not far from the Gulf of Mexico, right here where I'm sitting, and it is extremely hot. Then the Earth crust is destabilizing. That's what I'm saying. It's earlier on in the investigation when we had the 8.8 Chile quake, 2010, February 27th. Then the 188-day cycle, we had Fukushima and then Guerrero. Well, 2010 and 11, these quake events were two of the five most powerful earthquake events in recorded history, because Earth crust had not yet destabilized. It's like the chicken egg before you put the crack in it. Very, very strong. Once you get it cracked, that's what, going back to 2004, 9.5 Sumatra, December 26, 2004, that's about the time the Black Star made magnetic portal connection to our planet. That's when the northern ice sheets began depleting. Earth crust was stable at that time, producing larger quakes. Now that Earth crust is destabilizing, then I'm looking back at Earthquake 3D, and with the exception of these two Mexican quakes that we just had, 2 weeks of no 6 magnitude or greater earthquakes because of the destabilized. You would think that it's the opposite, but whenever you break the egg, now the pressure can't build up like it did in previous orbit cycles to give us a 9.0. Doesn't mean we're not going to have one because of Cascadia being locked. Everything around it is moving. Whenever Cascadia goes, it's going to be a totally different Pacific Ocean Ring of Fire tectonic dynamic. It's going to be totally changed whenever that movement takes place. We're already seeing the volcanism. We're seeing pressure shifts from the Indonesian side, Asian side, over to the Americas. In 2014, the Russians warned about it. The Grimm Report, just Google, Grimm Report Russia. They saw the magnetic anomalies taking place over America because these things were coming. They predicted it in advance. And if you read the article, you'll see that they mentioned that the Earth heating up and growing in diameter. That appears to be what's going on. As the magma gets hotter and it pushes, everything grows a little bit. Then think about it. That creates more space between the tectonic plates. Magma pushing up in between, lubrication, less up, and then you get slippage, but you're not going to get that giant buildup of pressure. And that's the way that the charts look right now. So Operation Scorched Earth, North America, there's a video link here. And some say the drop dead date is June the 1st. We've heard this, been hearing this about the financial collapse that's coming. And for me, I watch the price of silver. You see silver go over about $47.50. J.P. Morgan doesn't cover the silver short position anymore, inherited from Bear Stearns, 2008. Whenever that announcement comes, collapse is real close. As long as you see silver below $20, I cannot see how everything is going to crumble anytime real soon. But I do expect that the lettered agencies are running intelligence and counterintelligence all the time, and they are desensitizing the public. So they keep giving you this story that it's the collapse is coming. They keep giving you the story the collapse is coming, and nothing happens until nobody believes it. Whenever, you know, the guy yelling wolf. No. I cannot see that happening. I see there's a problem with my testing. 1, 2, 3. Skype was trying to go out on me again. So lengthy reply to that, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the Rothschild Rockefeller Gates eugenics program. You're not going to stop chemtrailing, the nanotechnologies that they're putting in our body. You cannot stop it any more than you can stop the Fed, because the government, the congressman that you're going to write, is working under the puppet government, working under the auspices of the CIA in Denver. That's where the headquarters is, with the Council on Foreign Relations and the underground Ark City there. That's where AI is running his underground, his real-world simulations. They're doing threat assessment contingency planning to weed out lone wolf. And ISIS ties a lot into that, created by the CIA, created by the Department of Defense. That's why the power vacuum was created, to make room for ISIS that was created by the CIA. Once you see the big picture, then this stuff makes more sense. There's also a link here to the Dakota Report. You're going to want to read the operations section. That's where Project Black Star came from. And look at all the other projects Look at all the operations, the exercises that have to be carried out before Project Black Star can be implemented. And that is much of what we're seeing. Lots of geopolitical information in this newsletter. And looking down here, global earthquake forecast, West Pacific, Europe, and Americas. There's a Dutch Sense video. That's there. I like Dutch Sense. And he does a pretty good job, even though he doesn't know the cause. The guy, pretty good on pattern recognition. And if he's expecting an uptick to come now, I think that he's going to be wrong. He's not incorporating the he's been doing this for the last 6 years like I have, but he does not yet see the patterns. And the fact that we're going near a black star or away from black star magnetic, he doesn't understand any of that stuff, but he does recognize the patterns. And but I still recommend him. Then there's a Australian Weathercam Network. I think I mentioned that a little bit earlier. And again, I'm not real big on trying to use a webcam to see something that a astronomer class telescope, I mean observatory class telescope, can't see using infrared equipment. You're not going to see it on a webcam. So I hope that more people will try to work to understand the Earth changes and how we must track it through these birth pangs. Rather, if we could just see it coming, there wouldn't be any need for any of this. And we have a resident astronomer, his own observatory, class telescope. We know pretty close to where this thing is, and we have for many cycles, and we've been looking, and we know that we can't see it. So we cannot see it using a webcam. It's just not. I wish that it was that simple, but it's just really not. Not that simple. Then, let me see. Did I get back in? Looks like my chat room came back on. We have about 5 more minutes here. And Keith wants to compliment Terrell. Only spoke to him once. Said something to the effect that I talk with spirits. Not sure what that is. How he knew that. I think that the told him. I don't know. I don't know what that was about. Let's see. Before we go, I'd like to don't see anything in caps. Equal and opposite reaction. Gotta be having an effect upon SOL and all the planets. Antimatter. Thunderbird thinks that Terrell has now demonstrated antimatter or maybe anti-something. Okay. So I'm not seeing any questions there. If more information on Project Black Star, then you can always go to my YouTube channel. That's Terrell Black Star. Just Google Terrell Black Star on YouTube. And in the description box, there is a link to the newsletter that's connected to that video. So you can download the newsletter, get a taste of what being a newsletter subscriber is about. There's always a way to get the newsletters for free, whether you come to freedomslips.com here at Revolution Radio, sit in the chat room, and I post them during the radio show, or go to my YouTube channel, get it out of the description box. You can go to Planet X News, and the editor there, I send him a newsletter every week with charts and the articles that he puts up there for me. So we all kind of work together trying to get the information out. So there is a way to get it. The difference is becoming a newsletter subscriber gives you access to me personally through a Gmail account so that you can write me specific questions, and I answer them and then include your questions, my answers, in the weekly newsletters. That helps other people that are thinking along the same lines that didn't think to ask your question. Then you want threat assessment, contingency planning. You want to hook up with a survival group. I can point you in the right direction. That is only for newsletter subscribers. And then there's a contact number for non-subscribers at terrell03.com. You see a contact Terrell button. I get there about once a week. As a newsletter subscriber, your emails are answered every single day. Those, I think, is a really, really good deal. And it's not $25 per month, it's $25 per year. And so for me, whenever you, first thing I would do, like I said earlier, is copy all the documents that are in the 2016 Dropbox folder. That's very important information. That's what I would do to have access to it, because when the crap hits the fan, the power grid goes down, these newsletters, they're really long, but it's because we include all of the article. We're not just posting a few words and sending you links. That way, when you're cut off from civilization and you wake up and realize, holy cow, that guy was right, then you have access to all the newsletters. You can go through go back in time and see what I was putting together and run your own investigation to say, well, this week this happened, this week this is, from what I'm hearing here, this, it gives you an information baseline that you can build on later down the road. So get more information at terlo3.com. And the final page of every newsletter has radio shows, and there's Liberation Nation radio shows there. There's permanent links here to the 9/11 Inside Job, Project Black Star, and my Three Witnesses of Scripture. You're interested in seeing God's hidden wisdom that's hidden in plain sight, right in front of your eyes. Three Witnesses of Spirit, Blood, and Water. Free book, Mystery Explained. You can get it at terlo3.com. And you want a tutor for that information, become a newsletter subscriber. Same thing with the 9/11 Truth. Want to know the truth? There's a book there, 9/11 Truth, Exposing the Cheney Rumsfeld Black Operation. PDF version. And if you're not going to read the whole book, it's a gigantic book. Then Chapter 11 gives you the top 100 events in chronological order and links so that you can run your own research project. And the guy before said that he wasn't interested in the, I was listening, that the conspiracy theories and all that, he might agree with them, but it doesn't help him. It sure darn well does help you, because that's how you identify your enemy. And you realize the House of Rothschild instigated, orchestrated the 9/11 Inside Job. They own the Fed. They own the Underground Ark City Program. The Council on Foreign Relations that runs the United States works under the auspices of the House of Rothschild. When you realize the true nature of the power structure, you begin identifying your enemy. I think it's extremely important to know your enemy. Thank you guys for supporting the research. I will see you next week on the next Black Star Update Report.